Before upcycling had a name, San Francisco-based beatnik filmmaker Bruce Conner was doing it to make movies back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Conner's been credited as the father of the music video, and his style of montage has influenced the filmmakers of Hollywood and beyond. Film critic David Sterrett is a big admirer of Bruce Conner's work. Sterrett's the chairman of the National Council of Film Critics and the author of The Honeymooners. He says, like the upcyclers of today, Bruce Conner turned to found materials for many of his movies. In this case, he used found film.
According to him, he couldn't afford a movie camera. But what he could afford to do was to go out and buy copies of 16-millimeter movies that had been made for educational purposes, for classroom purposes, instructional films, training films.
It's not all instructional, though. I mean, there are girly movies and, you know, some pretty racy stuff, as well as old newsreels and B-movies.
Oh, I did not mean to imply that there was not a lot of a lot of cheesecake in there, too. Absolutely, no. The idea is that he would buy this old stuff and just sort of comb through it. And then he got the idea of making a movie, which he gave the brilliant title to. It's called A Movie, that would kind of extend his collage aesthetic. This is me speaking. I'm not sure he would have put it just that way. But extend his collage aesthetic. You know, collage is putting one thing next to another. And in film, you have montage, which is putting one thing after another. And just take a whole bunch of that footage that he had been collecting and choose the bits that looked likely to him and start piecing them together and then just experimenting and tweaking and fiddling around for a really long time until he had what he wanted.
Well, we should describe this movie. I mean, called A Movie, which was his first film. It came out in 1958. It's filled with images of war, with naked women, and then it goes on from there. Tell us what it looks like.
Yeah, well, the way it starts out, first of all, it gives the title A Movie, and it gives the artist by Bruce Conner, and then it sort of gives those again, and then it gives those again for a really long time. And that's the whole first part of the film, basically, is the title of the film and his name, which is a joke and also kind of a statement about some of his unease at being an artist in the public sphere. But we also are starting to see footage, and after a while, the motion picture footage takes over, and we start to have chases, and we have cowboys chasing Indians and cops chasing robbers, and one chase after another, and it's sort of like a scene that he had admired in one of the Marx Brothers movies, Duck Soup, I think it was, where all these different kinds of things all sort of join in this impossible cockamamie chase.
And we should point out, there's no dialogue, it's just set to music.
Yeah. It's set to The Pines of Rome, a painfully familiar piece of light classical music by Ottorino Respighi. Everybody's heard it on the radio about a jillion times, so it's quite familiar. And that is the entire soundtrack. What's interesting, I think, and the most brilliant part of the movie is when we get to the last portion, when he's put together all kinds of material, again, from all kinds of movies, but now it's really dark and it's very sad, and there are suffering people and there are dead animals. And there are just things that it's not awfully pleasant to look at. And the music, interestingly, gets more and more triumphant. And then we start seeing more and more examples of modern mechanisms of destruction. And you realize that a whole subtext of this movie, which now comes to the fore, has been the idea of humanity's extraordinary gift for figuring out ways to damage and destroy itself.
It's certainly one of the most powerful films of Bruce Conner. It was his film about the assassination of John F. Kennedy in Dallas. And
yeah.
In here, you have actual words. In fact, quite a fascinating audio track.
Yeah, it really is. It's been written about a lot. It took him about 4 years to make, and it's a little under 15 minutes long. Report is really in a couple of different sections, and one of the sections really deals very much with the way in which the assassination, through the Zapruder film footage that was made on the spot, and also through the media, let's say reportage of and exploitation of that material, how it all became part of a media buzz where the personal chill and even horror that he had felt had just been lost because we were always being bombarded with this stuff over and over again until it began to lose its meaning.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill alongside inside Elm Street, there by the Simmons Freeway.
And he bombards us with, at one point, a flashing screen. I mean, we're hearing this audio footage. I mean, it sounds like newsreel footage, and the thing is just flashing at us, and then it goes dark, and then it comes back, and yes, he's obviously playing with how we watch a film, how we take in the news.
Absolutely. And since obviously we're long into the age of television, when we get into the 1960s, the second part of it starts to intercut commercials and things like that. I believe the last word that we hear, or maybe we see it on the screen, is sell.
And he's, I mean, it's sort of a devastating commentary. I mean, he's suggesting that we've turned the assassination of the president into a commodity, into something to sell.
I would go farther than that. I would say he's proved that it's been turned into a commodity, into something to sell, and something that is used to sell other things. At one point, we hear what appears to be a radio announcer going on at great length describing the route that the motorcade will take.
Right.
And viewed from a post-JFK assassination perspective, and especially from a post-9/11 perspective, right, even more post-9/11, it's absolutely chilling. We're getting practically a roadmap. We're getting, you know, a GPS before they existed, telling us exactly where he'll be at every moment, and pointing out that his security people are a little unhappy because he really does like to just stop and get out and shake hands. It's as if the culture was somehow willing this tragedy to happen.
Through the downtown area on Harwood to Maine, west on Maine to Houston, through the Triple Underpass to Stemmons Freeway, then on to the trademark.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, as we've mentioned, Bruce Conner is sometimes credited with inventing the music video, and apparently he said, don't blame me. what movies should we point to that show sort of the art of the music video?
Arguably, my favorite Bruce Conner movie is one with a very politically incorrect title called Mongoloid, a hit song by the group Devo, which I happen to admire quite a lot. And this film, 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes long from 1978, is just the Devo song with just pure Bruce Conner visual montage accompanying it with everything from what appear to be very badly done kind of classroom films. At one point, we have a close-up of a very worried-looking 1940s-type man, and words appear on the screen. What can be done about Larry's personal problems? We don't know who Larry is. We don't know what his personal problems are, but it's a marvelous moment. Again, as so often in Conner, hilarious and kind of terrifying at the same time. But I have to mention one more cut, which is one of my favorites in all of cinema, which shows a man, a rather sort of burly-looking face that he has, and he appears to be wearing a suit and tie, and he's got something in his mouth, and you can't quite tell what it is. And then we cut to the next shot, and it would be fascinating to know when in the world and where in the world this was filmed, we see that the man is pulling a school bus on a rope and holding this thing in his teeth. He's pulling a school bus with his teeth. So, okay. And then we move on from that to the next part of the film. So, again, these things that he finds, which sometimes I think that's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, and other times I think it's one of the scariest.
David Sterrett is the chair of the National Society of Film Critics and former longtime critic for the Christian Science Monitor. He spoke with Steve Paulson about the films of Bruce Conner.